You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
I'm the crime weaver, Tyler.
I'm Gordy, your master taxonom... Hold on.
You can do it.
This is the worst. This word is not what I am expecting it to be. I am your master taxonomographer, courtesy of Corey T. Hutchison on Twitter. Thank you, Corey. I'm not 100% sure what that word means. You did say that given the A to Z animal classification, so I feel like from context it's clear.
It's like you transmogrified taxonomy. That's your job.
Yeah, I didn't know that there was like a graphy portion to taxonomy. I guess that's what's surprising
what,
to me.
Is what
like
you been, did to it.
Like I've been doing it, like I've been doing the taxonomy.
Yeah.
But now there's this whole other like graphy portion that I just was unaware of.
I think you are now required by law to create a graph of the new taxonomy.
What kind of graph are we talking about? Is it a pie chart?
I mean, you're the...
That's easy.
You're the master.
Because it's 26 equal slices.
Sounds like a math nerd street artist. Graphy.
It's a good brand if anybody out there is looking for one. I don't know that that's my particular jam, but it's a good one.
I think you should try your hand at a few different graphs. Maybe do them in MS Paint for pure professionalism.
You'll give it a shot.
Speaking of that alphabet,
yeah,
you and I need to get started on the illustrations for that this month because I wrote it as a rhyming children's book, and at some point we should that make that happen.
That needs to be shared with the world.
Or if you want to make it into a 26-month calendar, two years and two extra months.
That would be an amazing product.
In case you lose a couple.
What a specific and worthless amount of time to catalog.
I want to know if there are any calendar companies that will print that.
I'm going to look for that real quick. We should move on. I am going to check that out real quick.
What do we do on this show?
I don't know. Someone explain. I'm looking this up.
Tyler, your turn.
Carmen, you're going to read a story to Gordy and I, a folk tale or fairy tale from somewhere around the world. Neither of us have heard it. Hopefully the listeners haven't heard it, but at least one of you has this time because it's a suggestion.
It is a suggestion.
We're going to listen intently. We're going to give it all the due respect that it deserves.
Yeah, you're good at that.
We will consider every thought that we have before presenting it.
You will never ask me to repeat myself.
I'm sorry, did you have something you wanted to add, Carmen?
Wait, can we not ask you to repeat yourself? I know that is asking for repetition, but...
We're going to listen to a story. Busy. We're going to joke about it. We're going to talk about it.
We're going to fix it.
We're going to fix it.
We might break it worse than trying to do that.
We're going to crack it open.
We are not licensed folklorists. We are roots from the street.
That's kind of the backup plan. Like, if we can't fix it, we want to split it so wide open that we're like, well, it was never here in the first place. Don't know what you're talking about.
Break it down into its component molecules and then scatter those to the wind.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, a 26-month calendar would be a novelty product. Or a novel product. Mm-hmm. Probably both.
You know, I could maybe do it as an illustrated...
calendar.
Like a planner.
Book? Yeah.
Yeah.
For 26 months?
Yeah, I might be able to do that.
26 weeks is half a year.
Well, also not terribly useful as a calendar.
Well, you know what? You got to choose.
You
everybody.
Get to the end of the planner and then you start it over again. So you double up.
You have to choose, everybody. Which one of those do you want?
I like the...
Wait. Do you need an illustrated planner? That's not a thing, is it?
I mean, it can be. Like the...
Do you want a planner?
The company I use to print it has planners with images for each month.
Oh.
Like a spot to put an image each month if you wanted to.
You're talking about a calendar.
Yeah, but it's a calendar you keep in your pocket. It's approximately trade paperback sized.
Okay.
And you write your stuff in it. It's not a wall calendar.
I like the calendar that is 2 years and 2 months. Because it seems like a deal up front. It's like, really? No hassle. You don't even have to throw this away at the end of the year. You got another year in it. But then you got 2 months, and then what do you do? You gotta buy another calendar.
No, like, it's a good procrastinator's calendar, though, because you get this two-month buffer period to remember to buy another calendar, and then you can get them at the steep discounts of the post-January sales.
Right. Nobody's buying calendars in March.
March is also not 2 months after the beginning of the year.
That is. January, February.
Okay, yeah. But you should be buying it in February for that.
So there you go. You can buy it as a book, a calendar, and a planner soon. But
the story this week. What's up?
That's not why we're here.
Okay, so I've gone back through the suggestions that I've been woefully inadequate at typing up.
Why'd you do that?
Well, it's been a bit. It's been kind of a year.
Has something been alleviated?
Dragon Con is over. Survived that. And some of you guys saw the Hans My Hedgehog adventures during Dragon Con, including being stuck on the bottom floor of the Westin, needing to get 46 floors up and waiting with Hans for the elevators to be fixed.
Hans kept you sane.
He did
in those moments.
Yep.
Did he whisper to you about pig death?
It's the only way to keep me sane anymore. So that's done and over with. The rest
he just says, Carmen, look at the crowds of people. Imagine them as pigs. Imagine them dying.
You just made an anime.
Good job, Tyler. So with that gone, I do have some time to deal with stuff. And there are no summer camps either to prep for. So it's like a free and open end of the year. It's weird. So I went through and hunted down our listener suggestions on Facebook and in Gmail and put them in order of the timestamp on the suggestions. So I'm just kind of going from oldest to newest. There might be a little bit of skipping around there because some of these suggestions I didn't get to at the time because they required an actual...
Tracking down a book or something?
Yeah, like a very specific book that I haven't been able to find an online version of, nor have I found it in our local bookstores, and our local libraries have hours that are inaccessible to a full-time working person. So, yeah, I'll be getting to those when I can find the source material, but for the most part, I'm going to be going from oldest suggestion to newest, so if you've made a suggestion more recently, it'll be a little bit before I get to that one.
Sit tight.
Our only other exception to that will probably be the spook lore stories that were recently suggested to us, because...
It's coming
October
up.
Is here now, and I have 25 suggestions, one of which is an entire book. So we have like half a year that you guys no longer get to choose what we read.
Yay!
We're entirely at the mercy of our listeners.
Powerless again.
Look, you had a good run.
There is something very freeing about just being able to kind of spread your arms. And
there's something freeing about being shackled again.
And just going where the winds take you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to make choices because there aren't any to make. You just go. You just lie down in the stream and float.
Much like all of our fairy tale heroes.
Yes.
Well, today we are floating to Turkey.
I like Turkey.
We are sourcing this tale from aton.ttu.edu, the Yusul Walker Archive of Turkish Oral Narrative from the Southwest Collection Library at Texas Tech University.
Thank you.
This tale is suggested by Ann Kristen, who is also the person responsible for making us read the Shit Goose story.
Mm.
I hope that you enjoy that is your reputation. And I hope that everyone else realizes that there are consequences to your actions.
Dire indeed.
It wasn't an intent that it happened this way, but... That first one made an impression.
Well, this is a chance at redemption, then. Maybe this one will be worse, and we'll surpass it in our minds.
And Kristen also suggested the panther, but the shit goose story was far more potent in our memories.
Certainly.
because I don't remember the panther at all.
if I recall the panther, and I barely do, I think it was a Red Riding Hood style story with a panther.
If you were hoping to get a nickname of something like the panther, sorry. You can't float that out with shit goose and expect us to go for it.
And this tale is the cauldron-headed axe-toothed sister.
That sounds real promising.
And we have been recommended to read the Arne Thompson type at the end of the story so as to prevent spoilers. So
okie dokie.
We will be doing that.
Is that all we got?
That's all we got. I got this printed out, so apologies if any paper noises come. We have no internet. So we're doing this analog.
We'll be thanking Irma from now on as well. We're going to add a couple thank yous.
Okay, you guys ready?
Hit it.
Yeah.
The Cauldron-Headed Axe-Toothed Sister. Once there was, and once there was not, when it was a long time ago, a husband and wife with three sons and a lot of sheep and no daughter.
How many sons?
Three.
How many not sons?
What's the problem then? You have the good one. Look, it is no fault of mine that daughters are worth less in fairy tale times.
One day the mother, who was unsatisfied with the lack of daughter, prayed for a daughter. She'd take any daughter, even if the daughter had a head as big as a cauldron and teeth like axes.
Hello.
And then the monkey's paw curled a finger.
Yes, a quick PSA. Don't phrase your requests like that.
So she got her wish exactly as made.
Like, if you're going to phrase it that way, at least make it semi-palatable.
Like, if you want to say, I'll take any daughter, even if she's very ugly.
Even if she's made of peanut butter.
Because that's not too bad. It's, like, at least you won't starve.
You can manage that.
You could eat your daughter. And it's not really even cannibalism.
Is it not?
If you eat your peanut butter daughter?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or if you're going to have them be like part something else, choose something cute.
Well, no, because she's trying to make a concession. And I understand that. Like she's saying, I'm willing to put up with this if only to get a daughter.
Okay, something cute but kind of annoying.
Like peanut butter.
Like a gerbil.
Even if my daughter's a gerbil.
Even if my daughter's a ferret. Those are adorable, but they stink to high heaven, so mm-hmm. It is still kind of a concession.
I don't know if that's enough.
If it's not, like, a bad enough concession, maybe it doesn't work.
Yeah. Mm. Like, you might have to try a couple times. Like, you start at ferret, that doesn't work. You say, all right, ferret on fire. That one doesn't go.
Ferret on fire. All right, so they get their wish, and then after a while, once this monster daughter is born, mm-hmm. Sheep start missing from the flock every day.
Because she eating them?
So they have their sons go guard the sheep one at a time.
Stare at them.
The first son falls asleep, of course.
Yeah.
And misses the fact that his baby sister is escaping her bed at night and eating a whole sheep.
Yeah. Because she has axes for teeth?
Yeah. And a cauldron-sized head.
Cauldron-sized or cauldron head?
Even if her head is as big as a cauldron and her teeth are like axes.
Okay.
I'm kind of imagining she has a very big head and is wearing a cauldron on it.
As a hat?
Yeah, as like a helmet down over her eyes. And then she just has very big blade-shaped teeth.
Initially, I was imagining like a cast-iron jack-o'-lantern. And that was not sitting well with me.
Kind of. Yeah, it's a little bit where I'm going, but like them, but those chompers are serious.
Man, if they're axe teeth, do they look sort of like regular teeth and just have really sharp edges?
Are they like shark teeth?
Well, axes aren't pointy.
Axes are pointy.
They're not like a triangle point.
No.
They're sharpened. They're not pointy. It's not sword tooth sister, it's axe tooth sister.
So they're round or like curved teeth?
Yeah, so they look sort of like regular teeth.
How's that mouth do?
Not well, I don't think.
Probably not. It fits sheep in it though.
It is big enough to fit. Well, I mean, she could just like kind of just mash it up in there.
Most of the axe power comes from that swing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not that the axe is so sharp and pointy that can cut through anything. Yeah. It's the power of the swing behind it. That
maybe they're on hinges.
So defo a shark jaw.
Yeah, like she's got that muscle.
Or like,
she's got
that gator crunchability. Or like a snake jaw, and she can just kind of dislocate it and really drop it down.
Yeah, like because her head is the size of a cauldron. Her mouth is not.
Her mouth is like a little steam shovel for sheep. she is a one person slaughterhouse.
The second son, of course, also falls asleep and misses everything. And the third, the youngest, and of course the best son, stays awake when witnesses this infant child eating sheep live.
Infant child?
She's a baby still.
Well, I know, but like she's got a cauldron-sized head as a baby, so that could go up.
It could, or maybe it just stays cauldron-sized and she has to grow into it.
Is she running around with a cauldron-sized head and an... and like a baby's body?
Yeah, how top heavy?
Pretty top. She just rolls around.
Yeah, does she just roll on it?
Or does she stand upright but drag it behind her?
And then that's where you get the axe swing. It's sure, when she leverages her body weight and swings the head over on top of a sheep.
This is an extremely good video game character.
She starts to spin her head around, and then she shot puts herself at the sheep.
This is a Tim Schafer character.
She launches herself like a cannonball.
Tim Schafer, if you're listening, this is a free idea for you. Also, that would definitely kill a baby. It's like... whip its neck around like that. You can't do that to a baby.
So the youngest son tells his parents that, yo, your new monster baby is responsible for the sudden increase in sheep deaths, and his parents are angry because she's just a baby, so how could she possibly do this?
No videotape.
It's this probably blood-covered...
no CTV.
Axe-tooth monster slavers in her crib. So the youngest is offended by his parents' complete disregard of his observations, and he leaves home on his horse.
Good. Like, listen, man, I did what you said. What do you want from me?
On his way out from home, he was eating a shitload of dates and throwing their pits on the side of the road. Like a litter bug.
That's his moody eating?
Yeah, like, dates are his comfort food.
Dates?
Yeah.
It's not a good one.
I don't know. They're kind of sweet.
I think you should keep looking.
Where you can't get a bunch of Hostess cupcakes. You can't just zebra cake your way to happiness.
Hmm.
Dates are the zebra cakes of fairy tale times.
I miss zebra cakes.
So after riding for some time, he saw a light in the distance and he went toward it and found a cottage where lived an old woman.
How bright?
How bright a light?
Yeah.
Normal light?
Like the sun?
No.
What color was it?
Yeah, like what color?
Just regular light.
If you describe the quality of the light.
It's not neon.
Is it a tube-shaped light?
It's not neon, and it doesn't say girls, 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 an old woman.
Is it the neon?
Is it the neon?
It's spoken not... of in myth and shining, legend?
Shining out of the darkness?
It is not the neon.
Is it the elder god?
But props for shoehorning that in at the slightest mention of anything related. He finds a special strip club cottage where lives an old woman, and he offers his services as a shepherd.
I feel like you made part of that up.
I'm just yes-anding your bit.
Is this his story now?
Yeah, now he's the main character.
Is this daughter important anymore?
Does she show up ever again?
Guys.
Was she just there to get him excommunicated?
Guys, you know I can't tell you the end of the story until we slogged our way to it.
Sometimes I just like to know like whether I can forget about them or not.
Gordy, let's place bets.
You live in a fog of war. Good luck.
It's been a while since we've been able to do this.
Yeah, okay.
How do you think it'll end?
Oh, already? Yeah. We want to do this now?
Yeah. Well, we know we have these two characters that we're going to follow. How does this story end up?
Do we know we're going to follow the daughter?
I think we can presume.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Well, I mean, that's up to you. So you're
saying we are going to follow both?
Yes.
I'm saying no.
My prediction includes both.
I'm saying the daughter is gone. Okay. I think she was a plot device to get this boy excommunicated.
And to get butts in the seats for the story.
Yeah, and because yeah, she's great. No one... She's great on the movie poster.
No one wants to read about boring shepherd's son's fabulous adventures with old woman in cottage.
I think we're never going to hear about this daughter again.
All right, my prediction is that they will fist fight each other on a volcano.
You guys have...
We'll see who's closer.
...have studied folklore very extensively. Good job. So she hires...
I would like to make a prediction.
Okay.
I don't want to make a full prediction. I want to make... I used to do this, I think. I used to do this with boats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I would like to predict that a certain element will come into play at some point.
Have boats lost your favor?
I just feel like we haven't touched on them in a while. I just feel like the world moved on from boats. I think that a bell is going to feature prominently in this story.
Okay.
Okay, so we're looking for a bell and a volcano. Let's see if either of you are at all correct. So the old woman hires this kid on as a shepherd and tells him not to take the sheep anywhere near the three nearby mountains, which are filled with monsters that will eat them.
Not lava?
Not lava, yeah. Just monsters. So the next day was his first day on the job, and the young son takes his gun and the flock to the first mountain about which he'd been warned not to go.
His gun?
Yeah, his boomstick.
They did kind of invent them there.
He does take them there?
He takes them to the first mountain that he was told not to take them to.
Why?
Because he wants to.
Just wants to check it out?
Well, there he comes face to face with a lion. But he's ready for it, aims his gun at it, and the lion begs him for mercy and says, if you spare my life, I'll give you one of my cubs that I have hanging out in this cave.
Whoa.
It's a good deal. I want a baby lion.
So the man's like, yeah, sweet deal. And the lion goes and gets one of its two cubs and deposits it at the man's feet as a gift.
Does the cub say anything?
No.
Like, no, don't?
Mommy. No, cub don't give a shit.
Okay. Cub is ready for adventure as well.
So the man goes back to the old woman's cottage, drops a lion cub on her floor, and tells her to take care of it for
him. Cook it.
Nan, care for it. I'll take care of your sheep if you take care of my lion baby. The next day he goes to the second mountain, where there's a bear that threatens the flock. And he aims the gun at the bear. The bear offers to give him one of her cubs. So he then takes the bear cub to the old woman and drops it in front of her and tells her to take care of that too. At the third mountain, we encounter a tiger and the same thing happens.
Yeah.
Guns get you a lot of cool stuff.
Brings his new prize back to the Pokemon Center.
Yep.
That feature is missing from a lot of those games, though.
Guns?
where you can just hold up Pokemon for their children.
Maybe the next one.
The next one entitled Pokemon Gun.
Yeah, I was trying to think of like a pairing for gun, since it's usually sun and moon or black and white. Gun and cannon. Cannons are just bigger guns, though.
Cannons are big guns.
Gun and spear.
Just gun and gun.
Gun and gun.
It's about the Pokemon industrial age and expansionism. And mob politics.
And big game poachers.
So the young man lived for a while with the old woman, taking care of her sheep while she took care of his carnivorous babies. And one evening, the old woman noticed that he was sitting by the cottage, stabbing the ground with a stick while deep in thought, and asks, hey, kiddo, what you thinking about? And the young man says he's thinking about his parents and how he wants to go see him, because maybe it was hasty to...
Just relinquish everything.
All his family ties out of the offense of not being listened to.
They're 100% eaten, right?
So she shrugs and says, yeah, sure, you should go see them. It's not like I've trapped you here or anything. Like,
you asked me for a job.
You're just a dude here who now made me responsible for a lion, a tiger, and a bear. Oh,
thanks
my.
For that, by the way.
I think that's where the Wizard of Oz got it.
Maybe. Like, this was... Maybe they're just such a natural pairing.
D- Do they coexist anywhere on the planet?
Yeah, actually. Or they did until recently. There was a place in Georgia that was like a wildlife rehabilitation zoo.
Like, do they share a natural habitat anywhere in the world? Is there a place on Earth where they naturally live?
There might have been.
At least within walking distance.
There might have been in, like, India or some parts of the Middle East.
India, where they have bears there?
Yeah, they do.
In the Middle East? Like sand bears?
Sun bears in India. I don't think the Middle East has much bear action anymore. But it didn't used to be as deserty either. And lions used to roam a little bit more north and tigers more south. So there might have been at some point coexistence.
A crossover?
Yeah.
From the Middle East, you say?
Well, India is the most likely.
Okay.
Possibly ranging into the Middle East, but not like far into it.
Okay. There you go.
But like,
and by lions, tigers, and bears, we mean cats. Just cats and bears.
Bear
is on the animal system, right?
Yeah, it's just...
I'm the taxonomographer.
Yep.
So I should know.
You should know.
Cats and bears, they feel different when you put your hand into a box.
One feels stripey.
One feels like a cat, one feels like a bear.
Yeah. One feels like a cat, one feels like a king.
That's it. Keep going. Also, what's happening? This guy's leaving.
He wants to go see his mom and dad, and
sister's not there.
This old woman's like, sure, whatever. And he says, okay, well, you continue taking care of my three cubs, feed them milk, and if they ever vomit blood, know that a disaster has befallen me, and release them so they can come help me.
Is that real, or did you make that up?
That is, why would I make up if my pet baby animals vomit blood, I'm in trouble?
I don't know.
Did he have a dream?
We don't know how he got this information. He's just like, just feed them milk, which is not a great diet for any of those animals. And if they vomit blood, it's not because of malnutrition, it's because I'm in trouble. It's
a self-fulfilling prophecy there.
Release them so they can use their homing radar to find me and help me. Because they're deeply attached to me, in spite of the fact that you're the one who's been mothering them this whole time. While I gallivant around with sheep and stab the ground with sticks. So, during the time the man had been away from home, the cauldron-headed axe-toothed sister had been terrorizing the village and eating everything she could get her hands on. The brother returned to the village and was greeted immediately by his sister, who offers to take his horse to water.
Mm-mm. Don't do it.
Okay, I was wrong there.
He says, yeah, sure. So she does, and while the horse is drinking, she eats one of its legs.
Just one?
Oh,
just one.
Boy. I feel like it's better just to eat the whole thing.
For the horse, sure.
So she comes back with the horse, probably hobbling a bit, and screaming, sad. Horrifying screams, and asks, hey, so how many legs did your horse have when you brought it here?
It was like normal amount?
I never learned math. I ate the teacher.
Would you say it was three legs? And he said, yeah, it was definitely a three-legged horse when I came here.
How did he say it?
He says, yes, it had three legs.
But, like, what tone of voice?
None was attributed to him.
Was it like Chandler?
Can you give me an impression of Chandler
talking about a three-legged horse?
Sarcastic.
Okay, that's not an impression, that's a statement.
Well, I haven't watched a lot of Friends read, like, any Friends. So I don't know that I could do like a Chandler impression.
You dug this hole, Gordy.
I don't have a Chandler impression. I don't know what he sounds like. I just know he's sarcastic. It's a borrowed touchstone from people who know more than me. I just felt like it would play better than whatever mine would be. I don't even know what is my touchstone for a sarcastic person.
You would drop some tertiary once and future king character on us.
Probably. Nobody even comes to mind, which is why I went for Chandler. But I don't know what he sounds like. Not really. Not enough to do it.
I don't know how to do an impression of Chandler that doesn't start with, could you be anymore? Yes, three legs.
He says, could you be any more three-legged to his horse?
So she offers to take the horse to eat, and he accepts this offer of her help, and she eats the second leg.
Uh-huh.
And brings the horse back.
Back or front?
Like, is it?
What? Okay, quick.
Is it like now bipedal or pause, hobbling, one half?
Quick pause.
Okay.
If you had to cut off two horse legs, like what? This is what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. What are the best two legs for a horse to lose?
For balance, front left, back right.
Is that true?
Well, that way you got the diagonal legs going, so it can maybe.
he's saying that is better than just having one end drag.
Yeah, maybe.
You could put if it lost both back legs. I don't bring this up to be cruel. I'm just trying to make the best out of a bad situation. You could get like a little cart for the back half.
Right.
So it can still get around. You get a wheelchair for the horse.
Okay, yeah, that's probably...
is what I'm saying. But unaided, I don't know.
You could do that for the front, too. Just like a cool horse skateboard.
That's rough. I feel like if it lost both of its front legs, mm-hmm. that's going to be rough because its face is just going to be in the ground.
Those are the steering legs.
That's where ingenuity has to kick in. And you have to like design a horse jack. You just pump the horse up.
Yeah.
And then it rolls around on his wheels.
I think if it loses the front two legs and it maintains a very high speed, mm-hmm. it should be okay. as long as it never slows down. Because a horse might be fast enough to outrun a fall. You know when you do that, like you feel like you're going to fall and you try to outrun it. Yeah, you think
you
like
use momentum to catch yourself.
If I just move fast enough, I can get out in front of it. A horse might be fast enough to do that, but it could never stop. And people who make BoJack Horseman, there is season 5 for you.
That's what those Roadrunner cartoons were actually about. Never got a good look at it. It's actually a two-legged horse running forever.
Away from a coyote.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knew? It's just called Roadrunner. That was his nickname.
That was the horse's nickname.
That was his racing name.
Old Roadrunner. Fastest horse alive.
All right, so she brings it back, asks how many legs it had when he got rot it here, and he said, yeah, it totally had two.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, do you think it needs more water? I can take it to water again, because she's out of ideas.
The horse is frantically shaking its head no.
And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. So she eats another leg, same deal, and then she offers to bring it to food again. This is the whole first half hour of his time in this town. You think it needs water? Think it needs food? Think it needs water? Think it needs food? So she takes it to get food, eats the fourth leg, and then comes back sans horse because I guess she didn't feel like dragging it across the ground, and asks if he came here on foot. And he says, yeah, I did. So she didn't finish eating the horse. She just wasted it.
Is it just face down and its food dying?
It's just laying legless in a field of grass.
I think a no-legged horse, at some point you do have to put it down. I think no legs might be the line. I mean, apparently, do people still shoot horses that break legs?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that still a thing? That's too bad. I feel like we have the technology to keep them going.
You could put them in one of those, like you just do a big RC car.
You give them wheels.
Yeah.
Just four wheels.
you strap him to a car and then you use a remote.
I would really like if you could give him the wheels, you know, like the rip cords like a lawnmower has. That's what I want to do to a horse to set it off. Oh, one of those coming out like the side. You just kind of walk up and like you give it a rip and then the horse gets, I don't know, like 2 minutes worth of motion out of it to kind of do what it wants.
Probably be better than those those wheels that you like rev back to charge them up.
Yeah, I don't want to push the horse around.
A Hot Wheels horse.
Yeah. This poor horse. I do not advocate any kind of animal cruelty.
Do you think this horse or the horse that can turn into a church bell has it worse?
I think the church bell. I think that is an unimaginable horror.
Okay, so now that she has wasted a horse and convinced him that he walked here on foot, she offers to delouse his head like you do to your long-lost brother when he first comes to town.
Mm-hmm. It's a common greeting.
And he says, yeah, that sounds good. So she sits down to delouse his head and opens her mouth, preparing to bite his head off. He realizes what's about to happen. Apparently not going into this with the realization that that was definitely the only thing that was going to happen.
And punches her up a volcano.
And he says, hey, don't eat me this way. Go stand in the fireplace and I'll go to the top of the roof and jump down the chimney into your mouth so you can eat all of me at once much better.
I'll make it simple for you.
Make all the Vore fans out there real happy.
Chimneys are volcanoes for houses, if you think about it.
You can stretch that all you want, Tyler. Also, when did they get to a house, is what? My question.
When did they get to a house?
Yeah, he just came to town. She said, hey, and then did the horse gambit.
That's probably their house.
He came to town.
Their old family house.
Maybe.
Somebody has a chimney.
Saying loophole. plot hole. Problem. So, he went out of the house that they're apparently in and left his monster sister standing in the fireplace. Then he locked the door and climbed on top of the roof. He took the heavy roller from the roof, which is a thing that was used to seal clay and straw roofs after a rain, and he dropped it down the chimney into the mouth of his cauldron-headed X-Tooth sister, and then he ran away. Soon he saw his sister chasing him, not slowed down too much by an entire roof roller in her mouth. So he climbed up one of the date trees that had grown from the pits he'd thrown around willy-nilly when he was leaving home. The sister just gnawed the base of the tree and cut it down, so he jumped from that tree to the next before it fell, and this continued down the whole line of date trees. And luckily he was very upset that day, so he did a lot of comfort eating, so this keeps up for a bit.
Deforestation.
Then he comes to the last tree, and he's like, well, shit, and says, hey, stop, sister. I know you're gonna eat me. That's fine. But before you do, let me play some sad tunes on my flute. So he plays several tunes while she just sits there waiting to eat him. And after a while, his three cubs come running from the cottage of the old woman.
Bleeding from their mouths.
The lion was followed by the bear, was followed by the tiger. I am afraid of these creatures, said his sister. You don't need to be, said the brother. They're coming to you as your prey.
Open up your mouth.
But when the cubs came close enough, he said, hey, lion, catch her, and tiger, swallow her, and bear, split her axe-tooth jaw.
I would have reordered those.
Yeah. Maybe you gotta eat her, like, butt first. It's a large head to get down. It is. You swallow enough of her that she can't use her arms anymore.
I will give you that, tiger. You catch a break.
Just before the cubs killed her, mind you, cubs, not...
They're still cubs.
Yeah. The cauldron-headed axe-tooth sister said, all right, you'll kill me all right, but before I die, will you please cut out my tongue and put it in your pocket? You might need it in the future.
Cryptic. Grody.
He fulfills her last request and lets his baby adorable animals eat this monster sister. And then on his way home, because they still haven't gotten there yet, they just chose someone else's random-ass fireplace.
Okay.
He meets a man with a long caravan loaded with goods. I guess he ran away from wherever the fireplace was, so maybe they were at home.
Was this town ransacked when he got to it?
Maybe.
Like, is that that's the impression that I got, that she was terrorizing this town.
She terrorized the town. I don't know how much of the town is left alive to be terrorized. Mm-hmm. He hasn't met his parents yet, so...
Oh, yeah, like I said, they're long gone.
So, he meets a man with a long caravan loaded with goods. The man takes a stick from his pocket and shows it to the young man and says, if you know what the stick is, you can have my whole caravan, but if you don't guess right, I get to take your cubs.
If you know what this stick is?
Yes.
What? Like, and what kind of wood?
It's just, tell me what the stick is.
A stick.
And the young man shrugs and says, yeah, sure. And then his sister's tongue speaks to him from his pocket and says, hey, that stick's called the magic staff.
The?
Yeah, the magic staff.
This is the magic staff?
This is the one. So the young man tells him that it's the magic staff, and he won a whole caravan of goods and became very rich. And he ate and drank and lived happily ever afterwards, and so may we all. The end.
So that guy's just out of a caravan?
I mean, he made a dumbass bet with a random stranger walking around with three bloody cubs and a tongue sticking out of his pocket, so I don't know what he expected.
He did.
The moral of the story is don't bet your caravan on another person's ignorance.
He did that thing.
Hit the music. You're gonna hit us with that Arne Thompson type?
Yep, and I gotta pull it from this book, full analog style. Thank you to Ryan Hall for the book of Arne Thompson types.
Book?
Yeah. Physical paper book. This is 315A, The Cannibal Sister, which a woman gives birth to a girl with a head as big as a cauldron and teeth like axes.
A lot of those, are there?
There are three of them. But Walker and Usal, the cauldron-headed axe-tooth sister, is the chosen sample for this one. Three listed in that book. So, yeah.
Mother, father, two brothers.
Oh, yeah.
400% dead.
Absolutely, this tiny girl did eat her whole family.
And all of their sheep.
And all of their sheep, and probably most of that town. Because, like, she is not only a cannibal, she is unstoppable.
Insatiable.
She ate, like, a good quarter of a horse. And was
she
still
ate a quarter. Like, no one can stop this. Or they don't.
Okay, no one can stop this except for three baby animals.
Yeah, are they just the right animals? Is she just afraid of them specifically?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe they do like a Captain Planet thing and their powers combine into a love beam or something. I don't know. Like, a full-grown lion, a full-grown tiger, and a full-grown bear would be intimidating and probably capable of tearing apart a girl, even one with axes for teeth and an insatiable appetite. But the little versions of those are just cute.
They got teeth.
Yeah.
They do have teeth.
But they're tiny. They're barely bigger than crickets.
Well, that's not... I don't know about that. Baby bears are still, like, bears.
Yeah, but they're little.
Are they? I want
to
look.
That's why they had to use teamwork.
Use your phone machine to tell us how powerful they are.
I have an insane theory for you guys, by the way.
Yeah, go for it.
In regards to our horse friend.
Okay.
This man had a gun. Yeah?
Uh-huh.
You can verify?
Yeah, that's what he used to get his cub bros.
Did he have his gun at the end of the story?
That one we can't verify.
So, potentially left with his horse.
Potentially, yes.
Do you guys remember a flying horse?
Sky horse and World Tomorrow horse?
A horse that had a gun?
No.
The horse had a gun strapped to it in that story.
Did it really?
It did.
And Sky horse?
Yeah.
It did. Yeah, it had a gun attached. You thinking this legless horse got retrofitted?
I propose that somebody magical stumbled onto this horse and said, I have a higher calling for you, my friend.
I'm going to give you jet horse, engines and glue this gun to your side.
This horse with a gun strapped to him is dying in a field, having faithfully walked back to its master on three, then two, then one legs.
Face down in feed.
And a supernatural being's like, I need you to kidnap a king. Here's flying powers.
Not even necessarily that. Like, here are flying powers. I will call upon you.
When needed?
Yeah.
Man, we should revisit that story.
Like, I presume that horse had legs, but still.
I mean, if you can magic it to fly, you can magic up some legs.
Yeah.
These legs just now have jet powers.
I just really want to give this horse a second chance.
No, I think, I didn't remember the mystery gun strapped to the sky horse.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to give that one another listen. But yeah, I agree with your insane theory, and
I believe, think you are correct.
I believe this is now the folklore official canon. So this puts that before Skyhorse on the timeline.
Yeah.
I do not remember that story talking about, like, the rotor blades coming off of that horse.
It just said flying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it was light
it's
on
four
detail.
Legs
Our
are
imagination
all,
can present the rest.
They're Iron Man style, like...
boosters.
Booster things in all four hooves.
Or they're just legs made of light.
Magic legs.
Yeah.
Like Lieutenant Dan's.
Yeah. That lady wasn't important, right?
The old woman?
No.
Yeah.
Not. She was just a babysitter.
She was not necessary at all.
She was just a babysitter.
Yeah.
She didn't seem to want to be in this story.
she was maybe part
of a better story happening somewhere else.
Yeah.
And this just kind of like came along and she had to deal with it.
I've been keeping my door open for random travelers to bring me into an interesting tale, and all you did was dump responsibilities on my floor. And they didn't even bond with me for whatever reason. I've been feeding them milk.
Like you asked.
And they still want you.
So, you know how movies lately do the Marvel thing where there's a funny scene at the end after all the credits?
Yeah.
Sure.
Just like a little joke. This woman's, the end of this movie is just this woman like mopping up blood in her cabin. Darn cub animals.
You think that was one of the millennial turns of phrases.
Vomiting up blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does sound like something we would say.
Can we think of where this girl came from?
Hell, I don't know.
She's a tax return?
Who? What?
The daughter. Where did she come from? What evil spirit willed her into existence?
I think that question would require a bigger question, which is there one spirit responsible for answering the very specific wishes of
desperate parents?
You're saying, does that go to like a certain desk in that department?
And then you get Hans My Hedgehog and Cauldron Headed Axe Tooth Sister, and I think we've had another one like that.
We did.
Hans.
We have one that was like super white face and like red lips or something, cheeks, whatever. Or is that a different situation? We had another one. I can't quite remember it.
Yeah, I think we've had one
where
the
parameters were.
Yeah, where the mom like cried, I'll take anything, even if it's this bullshit.
Tiny,
yeah.
Thumbling.
Thumbling was one of those. And I think it's not quite the same, the mom seeing the blood on the snow.
Yeah.
And wishing for a daughter that looked like that. But maybe it still falls under that department. It's just a better phrased wish.
Yeah, Hans wasn't specifically malicious, but he wasn't great either. Right?
Hans was
It's kind of malicious
misguided.
To stab a princess who didn't like you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not great. You're right.
Yeah, he had his major problems.
Yeah.
Also, shotting a rooster I mean, it's kind of glossed over as being a normal thing that you do to a mounted animal, but nailing horseshoes into a rooster's feet is a very different situation from nailing them into a horse's keratin hooves.
Yeah.
I more just mean that, like, thus far, these wishes, we have seen a spectrum of outcomes.
As far as personality?
Yeah. Like, Thumbling is curious and precocious, but mostly a good kid.
Depends on which Thumbling, but yeah.
Yeah, the one that we read, anyway.
We read both.
Well, was he wished in both?
I can't remember which one was the wish one.
I think the wish one was where he met those robbers and, like, hung out with them for a bit and then eventually came back home. Like, he just went on an adventure.
Not the one where he was actively yelling at people?
Yeah. I don't think so. I might have them reversed.
It's hard to tell. They're both about tiny men named Thumbling.
Hans was kind of middle of the road. Like, he did bad stuff. He did some good stuff.
What good stuff did he do?
Trying to remember. Didn't he do a thing for a king?
He helped someone out of the woods, but like with a caveat attached. So it's not really good.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like, I'll help you out of these woods where you're lost.
Well,
and
maybe.
Make like one king size extra space to fill with pigs. But
maybe
you're going to give me the first thing that greets you when you come home.
But this daughter was definitely a force of destruction only.
Oh, yeah. This was just a murder cauldron.
Not even necessarily evil, just destructive.
Yeah, just hungry.
Maybe she just didn't know better. He didn't age enough to develop self-restraint. How long was he doing this thing?
Long enough for a date pit to grow into a tree that he can climb.
Oh, probably a while.
So several years, probably.
So she's not a... But, she should maybe know better?
Well, like, as a baby, she was daily going through one whole sheep.
That detail entirely passed me by the way.
What?
That field of trees were from his spit.
Yeah. It's the whole reason for the littering in the beginning. They're right. Like, we're gonna show you Chekhov's loaded gun.
This will be important later.
But it's loaded date pits, and it doesn't really matter that much. Yeah, so she's going through a sheep a day as... like a baby child.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as she's able to crawl, she's able to consume. So, you know, it doesn't matter how rich those people are. They do not have 365 sheep. So within a year,
dates, though.
Within a year, she's not yet.
They will.
They will, but not yet. So within her first year of life, she has eaten them out of the flock of sheep and all of their income. And so they're not able to provide regular feedings for her in addition to that, and she's missing that extra protein, so she starts in on the brothers.
I was definitely going to say she went for the sleepy brothers first.
And then her parents, and by this point, she's old enough to have picked up language, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Not a lot of it.
It's very disturbing. This is basically a feral child.
Essentially, yeah.
How fluffy was she?
How fluffy?
Yeah, I have another insane theory.
I am concerned.
How squishy and huggable.
How fluffy does she need to be for this theory to work?
At least at all.
She's cauldron-headed and axe-toothed. Those are the only physical descriptions we have for her.
That does not sound very fluffy, but pitch your theory.
I would like to pitch the idea that she assumes the state of being of what she consumes.
Okay.
And by devouring her parents, she learned language.
Oh, I'm less on board with that theory than the Skyhorse theory.
I'm not sure about that. I don't know if that has grounding.
I think maybe by the time she ate her brothers, her parents realized
we should talk to this kid.
Something's up.
It's time to start talking.
And yes. The villagers realized, and so like they started making sacrifices of their livestock. Mm-hmm. Like a whole the economy of this village tanked immediately, and the whole thing was a quest for survival against the unending appetite of this one child. So they've managed to feed her enough livestock that she's able to, and they're trying to teach her, like educate her like a normal human,
yeah,
in hopes that they can then talk with her and reason with her and teach her like why it's bad to eat your brothers and also whole cows. So by this point she's learned some table manners. She eats them one leg at a time. And
yeah, that's manners.
And enough language to communicate with her brother.
Uh-huh.
But it is not enough to sate the unending appetite, and so her parents get eaten, and so does half the town. Or the whole town, which is why they're just like random chimneys for them to sit in.
Yeah, no one's gonna care.
Yeah.
And there we have it.
So this is a horror film.
For sure.
Basically.
Would it be a good horror film?
I think so.
I don't know.
Well, maybe not a good horror film, a good monster movie.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
Because you would see the monster.
Yeah. And those are different things.
Right. Where a really good horror film, the entity remains kind of a
mystery. I do not dread this girl necessarily.
I do not dread her. I'm interested. I don't fear her.
We would need a better explanation for why three baby animals are the things that can take her down when several adult humans...
Did you say a good reason or any reason?
Magic. Fairy tale nonsense.
A good reason would be better. Do you have an any reason?
No, I don't.
Okay. Maybe she's really allergic to them.
She's allergic
to cat fur.
She is allergic to specifically... like the interaction of those three odors.
Yeah.
Her final word as she was being eaten alive by three small baby animals was dender.
That's the name of the movie.
I have a third and probably final insane theory.
Okay.
Probably has more evidence than the last one, but still not great.
Okay.
This caravan man.
Uh-huh.
Magic man. Strolling up on a destroyed town, gives a riddle to the only survivor he comes across. What's up with him? He has a magic stick.
I don't think he's Cherry Man, if that's what you're aiming
for. I'm not saying that.
Are you thinking Caravan Man from the more recent Church of the Knife story?
No. Not that he is anyone in particular, but was he coming to check up on his handiwork?
Oh, is he responsible for the cauldron?
did he make the cauldron girl?
Oh.
With his magics.
And he knew that the only defense against her is a lion, a tiger, and a bear cub, which is why he was willing to trade his whole caravan for that. But the only person who knew that, who knew of his origin, was her. And so when the
tongue... He did not expect her to still be around.
Yeah, so when the tongue
form
spoke, he's like, okay, she's gone. I don't need this crap anymore.
Time to go somewhere else.
Sure.
That's all I got, though.
So we could maybe keep an eye out for a weird caravan man speaking in riddles, or the magic staff.
Doing evil magic.
Yeah, because she has to come from a magic source, right? No one births this without interference of some kind of horrifying magic.
Right, for sure.
So is this fairy magic, or is this underworld magic?
Are they different?
Well, I got like the Unseelie Court underground, but
Do you mean hell magic?
Yeah, kind of. Because we have hell as a sort of separate underworld country, and we're not sure where Boney exists. Like, if he's a member of the fairy court, or if there is a third Boney country.
I think I prefer that.
The third Boney country?
Yeah. This here's Boney country.
It's good, yeah.
It's because Boney and Baba Yaga seem to be of the same ilk. Mm-hmm. An older kind of magic that operates slightly differently from fairy magic.
Only they know of the neon.
Neon behind it?
The neon is older than them.
So would you think that this man with the magic staff, is he fairykin?
I would guess that.
Or is he more of a Baba Yaga Boney figure? An older being influencing the world?
My immediate guess would be fairy, just because it seems more, I don't know, the mischief behind it reads as fey to me, more than Boney.
Yeah, that tracks.
I can see that, but I could also see, not just Boney, but like a Boney Baba Yaga figure. Yeah. Like, not necessarily from Boney's kingdom.
Just an outside faction.
Yeah. Like an older being bringing these things into play.
Just in that it was a granting of the wish, literally, but it was a perversion of it, seems fairy-like to me. Like, they like to give humans the idea that they're getting something when they're actually getting fucked with.
Like, they did get that. I guess they could have gotten, like, a daughter that looks like that, but who is not a cannibal.
Yeah.
There are better versions of that they could have gotten.
Yeah,
there are
better outcomes. She could have been real nice. Just trying to think of instances where we've seen fairy magic create an entire
thing.
Like, life.
I don't know.
That seems like slightly more powerful magic than a lot of the fairy magic we've seen, which has been transfiguring existing things.
Yeah.
Like turning feasts into snakes.
Maybe it is just like...
They had
other
normal baby transformed into this baby.
It is Caravan Man.
But maybe. I don't know. We need to know more about Caravan Man. All right. So, listeners, share your theories. Caravan Man, is he a fae or elder being? Use hashtag Caravan Man and share your thoughts.
Is that going to do it?
That's it for me.
I'm out.
You're out of stuff?
I'm out.
I'm out of stuff.
That's all.
Thanks again for listening, everyone. Thank you to our Patreon supporters.
Thank you to Anne Kristen for suggesting this story.
Don't forget to hashtag WhatAmGordy for next week.
Keep them coming.
And hashtag Caravan Man. What's your thoughts? Because we don't know. We're dumb.
It's probably a short-lived one.
Yeah.
Get in there and get out.
We'll see y'all next week.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Neon.
Thank you. That's a new one. Thank you to the Neon for something.
Thank you to the Neon.
I don't know for what, but I guess thank you.
We're What the Folklore, and that's how it works.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com/WTFolklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.